According to the Gospel of John, on the last night of Jesus' life, when he knew that he had very little time left, he did a startling thing. He washed his disciples' feet. What an odd thing to do. He knew he was going to die. He could have organized his disciples, appointed them to different positions, given them all job descriptions. Wouldn't have that been handy? He could have laid out a long-term plan for the church with short-term goals to be reached in 6 months, a year, and so forth. Instead, he washed their feet. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he was acting out the story of his whole life. Though he knew who he was, that he came from God, he knew his worth. He stripped off the high status that he could have claimed. He identified himself with slaves, the lowest status people in his society. He knelt down and he did a dirty, necessary chore for the people who called him teacher and Lord. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, it was a little parable of love. One more episode in a life poured out in love for them and for each one of us. His whole life communicated that real love isn't pretty and abstract. It's about the everyday. It's about washing dirty feet and scrubbing dirty dishes and feeding people and doing small daily chores. I know that often my husband says I love you by changing the oil in the car or by fixing the dry rot in the house. Real love is about dealing with people when they're sick and hungry and lonely and angry and grumpy and confused. It's about the real world messiness of human lives and human needs. On the night before Jesus died for us, he could have given his disciples a theology book. He could have written up a constitution for the church. But he did something much more basic and important. He washed their feet, even Peter's feet, even Judas's feet. And then he commanded them to wash each other's feet. Some time ago, I saw on the Episcopal Church memes website, if you don't know it, you should visit it, to-do list for Holy Week. And prominently displayed on the to-do list, remember to get a pedicure for Maundy Thursday. I sympathize with that sentiment. You know, because feet, right? We keep them hidden most of the time, well covered up. And at least for some of us women, on those rare occasions when we do display our feet, we make sure that at least our toenails are painted. Because feet, they're dirty. They're smelly. And as we get older, they're often deformed and distorted. Our feet age like the rest of us, but somehow it all seems to just concentrate there, doesn't it? Our feet bear the marks of age and use. They show where we've been. And I think that a lot of us are rather ashamed of them. So what an image washing feet is for Christ's love. As Jesus welcomed his disciples with all their failings and their sins and their flaws, with knobby, distorted toes and grime. And Jesus welcomes us the same way. We've been baptized, we've been washed, but we need our feet washed because we don't stay clean. Tonight, many of us will walk out of here on freshly washed feet, but once we're out the door, we'll step into the dirt and the mud and the muck. We'll slip, we'll fall, we'll sweat. Before we know it, we'll need our feet cleaned again. But we're invited to wash each other's feet too. We're called to live as a community that welcomes the real person, not simply the mask. Not just the prettied up, cleaned up feet. We're called to mutual service and welcome and love that doesn't depend on each other's perfection. I know this is a shocker to you, but we're not perfect. I'm not, and you're not. We're going to mess up. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to say things that we regret. We're going to do things that we regret. And we're called to be vulnerable with each other, to be willing to admit our failures and our needs, and to ask for help. To wash the feet, even of those who will betray us. Loving each other as we are, even knowing that the people we love and serve will fail us. One of the most memorable moments of my ministry, and I know I've talked with some of you about it, but I had a woman in my congregation who had been caring for her mother as her mother sank deeper and deeper into Alzheimer's. And they had determined that instead of having a funeral home do the burial, they wanted to handle it themselves. And so when her mother was near death, she called me and I came. And I was praying the vigil at the time of death with her mother when she died. And my parishioner asked me to help her wash her mother's body. It is one of the most sacred things I have ever done. I mean, she had cared for her mother's body, because her mother could no longer wash herself. So this was a task that she had done regularly. And this was her final loving farewell to that body that she had cared for. And it was such a beautiful, honest task. I don't know that I've ever been so honored as to be able to share that. This act of love and gentleness and honor for the earthly remains of this member of Christ's body, who lay there utterly without defenses in death. How can we treat the living members of Christ's body with any less reverence? Yeah, we do. We do. We forget the holiness of each other, the sacredness of each other. And so we need to be washed again by Jesus, who looks at us with tenderness and love and says, "Let me wash those dirty feet. Stop hiding them. Put them out here. I know what they look like. And I'm here to show you what love means, what welcoming love means. Not just loving the mask, not just loving the painted toenails, loving you. Loving you as you are. As we wash each other's feet tonight, we take our own place in the story of Jesus. Letting this simple, intimate act be a parable of Jesus' love, given and received. We set aside our pride, take off our everything's fine masks, and let others reach out in love to us, care for us, touch us gently. And we commit ourselves to loving and serving each other in all the messy ordinariness of daily life. And after we wash feet, we'll share in that other great gift that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us Jesus did on the last night of his life. We'll come to the altar and we'll receive the bread and wine so that we, like the first disciples, become living members of Jesus' body. Jesus is the host at this table, and he invites us to take his life into ourselves, to chew it up, to absorb it, to let it become the very essence of who we are. He asks us to let him transform us into his hands and feet and heart, into his life poured out for the life of the world. May it indeed be so.